Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Never has there been a greater need to share Christ with the world, starting with our neighbors, and yet never have believers seemed more ill-equipped. So writes Becky Pippert in her new study called Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And on today's Connecting Faith, we're going to learn from Becky how to winsomely, prayerfully, courageously share our faith. I'm really looking forward to the hour ahead. Glad to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. You know, the sharing faith, sharing Christ, really more important than ever, isn't it? In a world that's confused about religion and belief and what motivates people to act out and violence, our thoughts and prayers of those injured in this weekend's attacks in Manhattan and in Minnesota and in New Jersey. And last week I was driving the freeway past a car with an advertising wrap for an Islamic website, which was the first time I'd seen something like that. And one of the lines across the door of the car was, "This is the truth." Now you can see how that might attract some attention from people searching for answers. So how do we develop relationships with neighbors, colleagues, and coworkers to get an opportunity to talk about spiritual matters and share the gospel? That's a question worth exploring. We'll do that today. Later on today's program, you'll hear a report on a study that found Jesus is the most influential figure in world history. Looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that. And we'll also review one of the most influential verses in the New Testament when we turn to Romans 12 for Memory Verse Monday. That's all coming up. But before I go any further in today's program, just want to say a giant thank you to all of you who gave during our fall fundraiser last week. It was really an amazing week. Over $500,000 committed toward the overall need of Faith Radio, over 1,500 people joining in support. So we're just really overwhelmed and so grateful for your generosity and your faith and your confidence in Faith Radio. And we're excited about what God will continue to do in this ministry in the weeks and months ahead. So God bless you. Thank you for your part. If you were out of town and didn't have a chance to get involved, of course, you can always make your gift online at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. And if you are thinking about your finances and looking at that and want to be a better steward of the resources God's entrusted to you, we're giving away a Bible each week here on myfaithradio.com. And this week it is the Financial Stewardship Bible, developed in collaboration with Howard Dayton from MoneyWise. It features over 2,000 highlighted verses illuminating God's perspective on stewardship, provision, and trust. So you can visit myfaithradio.com to sign up and win that. All right, so coming up, we're talking about sharing faith and getting caught up with Becky Pippert. Honored to have her back with us here in Connecting Faith. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about our moral indignation, about the problem of inattentive parents. You know, there's all sorts of things, reasons that we can have outrage about things. John Stone Street has the latest.
For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. How dangerous is it to leave your child unsupervised? Well, statistically, not very. In fact, children are in far greater danger of dying in a car accident than they are being abducted. But endless media coverage of rare crimes has skewed public perception of what's most dangerous. One unintended consequence of this, we've become unbelievably judgmental of other parents. In a study published in the journal Calabra, researchers found that our perception of how much danger unsupervised children are in depends on our feelings about the parents. When participants were told that parents left their child alone because of an emergency, they downplay the danger to the child. But when they were told the parent left in order to relax or go see a lover, participants said the child was in far greater danger. In other words, our moral outrage is fickle and doesn't help anyone. Of course, responsible parenting is vital, but we should remember Jesus' words. For in the same way you judge others, you will also be judged. I'm John Stone Street.
It's 8 past the hour. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and you know that issue of our righteous indignation. We know something is wrong, at least when we're wronged. But what is the source of right and wrong? We're going to talk about that today and many other aspects of how we can effectively share faith with those that we come in contact with. And to do that, we have the honor of connecting with Becky Pippert, a global conference speaker, evangelist, and author of some 11 books. She regularly speaks on spiritual renewal, evangelism, and character formation for church conferences, at schools, and colleges, and in pastoral training seminars. She's written a number of books on evangelism and Christian living, including, of course, the bestseller Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World that was released more than 35 years ago and really remains a definitive guide to personal evangelism. And Becky and her husband divide their time between, well, they've spent a number of years living in Great Britain and traveling around Europe and around the world and have moved back to the States. But we're going to get her unique perspective as well about sharing faith in Europe compared to maybe what's going on in the United States. So let's welcome back Becky Pippert to Connecting Faith. Becky, how are you?
Hi, Neil. It's just a real pleasure to be able to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, looking forward to talking about one of your new products that called Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And this is just one of several kind of books and studies that you've done uncovering the life of Jesus, discovering the real Jesus. And we've got a few copies of some of those that we'll give away at the end of the hour. So we'll talk about that as we go along. But I'm interested, I guess, you've been engaged in personal evangelism as a way of life and ministry for most of your life, and I'm thinking, you know, many of us have only rarely had conversations about spiritual things with non-Christians, and is it just your outgoing personality? What makes a difference?
That's a good question, and I think partly in my case, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. By the grace of God, every member of my family came to the Lord, but oh my goodness, it took a long, long time. But because I came to faith, I was the first Christian in my family to come to the Lord, I think that gave me, I really understood that non-Christians, and I had been an agnostic, and I knew that there was a hunger that Christians weren't aware that we had, that I knew how much I was looking, how much I was searching, and how turned off I was by the Christian faith. Now, I'd never really investigated it, it was amazing how few Christians ever witnessed to me before I became a Christian. And I remember I went to my high school reunion in Champaign, Illinois, where I was raised, and I met some, this was like I think our 25th or something like that reunion, and I met so many people there who said, oh my gosh, Becky, we've read your books, we're so excited you're a Christian. And I said, oh, when did you become a Christian? And they said, oh, I was a Christian when we were in high school. I said, why on earth didn't you tell me? And they said, well, to be honest, Becky, you were the last person on earth we ever thought would become a Christian. You just had so many questions, and you seemed very happy, and you were kind of, you know, we were just intimidated because you didn't look like you had any needs. Now think about what they did there. They thought I had a lot of good questions. That intimidated them. What if they asked me a question I can't answer? I was very outgoing and looked happy, didn't seem to have any needs. They thought she'd never be interested. And I said to them, do you have any idea how much I was hurting, how much I wanted answers? I was reading other religions, eventually came to the Christian faith. But I said, you couldn't have been more wrong that I looked like the last person anybody ever thought would become a Christian. And so, you know, not having many Christians who witnessed to me, I knew I had to help other Christians know there really is a hunger, no matter how difficult our culture is. There is a hunger, and we need to know how to talk to people.
We'll dive into that as we go along today. I'm just curious, maybe by way of background, you wrote that that great book, Out of the Salt Shaker, Into the World, almost three decades ago. So has things changed in terms of maybe communicating the gospel to the world since you wrote that?
Well, now there are two questions there you're asking me. By the
things,
way,
things have changed,
Neil,
yes. Okay.
All right. By the way, I was, 27 when I wrote Out of the Salt Shaker. Mm. I mean, it's unbelievable when I think about that now. But there are two questions involved in that question. And the first is, has culture changed? And the second is, therefore, does it make a difference how we communicate? Mm. Let me take the first one. Has our culture changed? Oh, my goodness. When I think of the change of when I wrote Out of the Salt Shaker to today, what are some of those changes? What the impact of advanced modernity in today's culture, and it really takes my breath away how much American culture has changed. But anyway, what we see everywhere in the West is there's a crisis of truth. By and large, in the secular realm, there is no belief that anything could be true. Now, they can't live that way consistently. That's the funny thing. That may be their position, but the truth is that they do live at some levels on the basis of some things being true. Secondly, and this is very closely associated with us, we have the crisis of authority because there is no truth. There is no ultimate authority. Except the fact that the only absolute is there is no absolutes. I mean, that's how people are operating. So the fact that there is nothing authoritative and we want to share the gospel and we're basing it on the Bible. So what do? When they go, that can't possibly be true. Very closely associated with this, the crisis of truth, the crisis of authority, is the sexual revolution. If you have nothing but your own experience as the ultimate source of authority, it's hardly a surprise that we have this crisis in the sexual revolution. How do we deal with that? There is also the view, and this comes so much from the new atheists, you know, Richard Dawkins, that may have more impact in Europe than it does over here. But there is certainly the new atheists are very aggressive, saying there's only one view of reality, and it's what we can see. It's the material world. And so how for instance, the idea that there is a supernatural power, that is something that people have difficulty believing in. Therefore, because of all these things, it has become, and that's one big difference I see having been out of my culture for 7 years, is how politically incorrect it has become, not everywhere, but in some cultures in America. It seems, Christians tell me, they feel it's very politically incorrect to say anything about faith. So we need to know how to do that. So that would be the first thing, is yes, our culture has changed.
Yeah. We're going to dive in more to talk about how all of us, you know, can be equipped for relational evangelism, as we talk Empowered with Becky Peppert. Becky is a global conference speaker, evangelist, and author of some 11 books. And her husband, Dick, established Salt Shaker Ministries in 2001 with the aim of helping Christians to become confident disciple makers. She speaks literally around the world. They lived in the UK for a number of years and have done a lot of sharing of faith in Europe as well as the United States, and so we'll get some insight on that. Also, love to have you join in if you have a question about maybe effective ways to communicate the gospel or something that has maybe held you back or stumped you. Glad to have you ask and join in the conversation today. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. And we do have some resources, some of the studies that Becky has written, Discovering the Real Jesus, 7 Encounters with Jesus from the Gospel of John. That'd be a great little resource. We also have some copies of Empowered. We'll make those available. Do a drawing at the end of the hour. So give us a call, and you can sign up for that. 877-933-2484. And more with Becky Peppert just ahead. 20 past the hour as we talk today with Becky Pippert. Becky is a global conference speaker and speaks spiritual renewal and evangelism and character formation for churches and schools, colleges, training seminars, and has written a lot of wonderful training material, including the new one, Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. Her and her husband, Dick, have Salt Shaker Ministries. They've lived in Europe for a number of years and been giving us some encouragement today about how we can share our faith and bring people to that understanding of the cross in a world that, you know, doesn't really pay attention to truth or authority. I'm interested, Becky, in the first chapter of your new study, Empowered. It has an intriguing title, Inadequacy is Compulsory. And I think, you know, we can all maybe relate to the inadequacy part, but why compulsory? Say more.
Well, one of the things that we have seen, we did several years of doing evangelism training for believers and evangelistic outreaches. And we did this in the UK and Europe. Now, that is the most considered, the toughest nut to crack for the gospel in the whole world. It's so secular. We also, 6 years before that, literally went global north, global south, trained believers on every continent. What did we find out and learn about Christians? Number one, most Christians feel inadequate about sharing their faith. I mean, we hear it all the time. They usually share all the same fears. What if somebody asks me a question I can't answer? What if I offend them and I'm rejected? How do you raise the topic of faith naturally? How do I establish relationships with people that are very different? Now, I'm going to come back to that, Neil, because I want to talk about how often we don't have a biblical understanding of evangelism, but I can talk about that a little bit later. Now, you're saying this resource that has just come out is called Empowered, and it is a DVD curriculum. Having done all this evangelism training all around the world, we finally got it filmed, and it's literally only been out for 2 weeks, and it's a seven-week program, it's really it's geared for churches or university students, but it's 7 weeks of looking at central issues that Christians face. Well, because I've heard all over the world, I would hear something like this. I would share my faith, Becky. I really want to, but I can't. I go, why? And they go, because I'm inadequate. And my response to that is always, well, of course you're inadequate. We're all inadequate. We have been created dependent upon God. God is the only one who's adequate. Isn't it freeing to know? Isn't it wonderful to know? We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the Word of God in our lives. We can depend upon the Lord and go out in our inadequacy and not be ashamed. That's the key, is that we think we have to have every answer to every question that they could, everything that any non-Christian could possibly raise, oh, we're the guru on that. Not at all. We need to be human. We need to go out in our and form real relationships, authentic relationships with non-Christians. And when they ask us, like, what's one big fear? They're going to ask me a question I can't answer. What do I say? I go, that is a fantastic question. I haven't a clue what the answer is. But I can't wait to find out. I'm so glad God has brought you into my life to sharpen me intellectually. Now, what does that tell the unbeliever? One, I'm real. I'm human. I'm not trying to pretend that I have the answers to every single question. But it also communicates that even though I don't know the answer to that particular question, my faith is still very strong. So why I began the very first talk on inadequacy is compulsory. The first qualification to being used by God in evangelism and in any other form of ministry is the realization that we are inadequate. We have been created dependent people. We are created to depend upon God. And what I think we don't realize is when we were converted, God placed His Holy Spirit within us, And that's why we need to, throughout the day, constantly remember, I am not alone. There is another who dwells within me. The Lord Jesus dwells within me through the Holy Spirit. And through my faith in Christ, I can say, as I'm talking to a non-believer, I can whisper the prayer, come Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer the question. I need a lot more of the love of Jesus. That is when we quit fighting this fear of being inadequate and accept, celebrate our inadequacy, but realize it's not just accepting our inadequacy. It's realizing how to tap into the power we have been given. There is one who is adequate, and it is God. And through our faith in Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we need to be in constant dialogue throughout the day saying, help me, don't know how to do this, give me help. And you know what? When we ask, he does come. He helps us. So that's a bit of that first talk.
I love it.
How do we learn how to depend upon God and celebrate our inadequacy?
You know, we only have a couple minutes here before we need to take a break. But, you talk a lot about it, and in your all your studies, it's about having a prayer partner. Just say about why it's so important that we partner up. We don't just try and do this all on our own.
Well, all right, let's start with how do we do it? I have non-Christian friends. I want them to know the Lord, but I just think somebody else better do it, you know. All right, so how do we start? Number one, we pray. And what we pray is, open my eyes, Lord, right in my circle, right at the gym, with the mothers of our children, or the parents of our children, anywhere at work, in my neighborhood. Lord, help me establish relationships with the people in whom you are seeking. It's a terribly important prayer, because there are people who are closed and there are people who are open. Now, we should be reaching out to both types, but it saves a lot of time if you can say, God, help me connect to the people that are open even though they don't look like it. Then you begin to see conversations happen, you do start connecting, and then you pray. You really pray for that relationship to develop. So prayer is the first. Then seek to establish an authentic relationship. We can talk about that after the break.
Okay.
And then as you begin talking with them, there's something else you can do. But you begin with prayer, and it is very helpful to find another friend who's a prayer partner, and you pray for each other together for God to use you and for him to guide you to the people he's seeking.
All right, coming up in just a moment, we'll hear more from Becky Pippert, regularly speaks in spiritual renewal, evangelism, and character formation all across the world. We're talking about some of the resources she's written. Her new one just came out, a DVD study series called Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And we'll talk more with Becky in just a moment. We do have some copies of the resources to give away. You can call us, sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH.
He doesn't care about your past or your many mistakes. Cover your sins in a warm embrace. Let me introduce you to a friend. Friend calls me.
Our passion, our desire is that we would invite others. We'd be able to share effectively our faith. There are those that we know and love and care about that don't know the Lord. So how do we go about doing that? Becky Pippert has been helping us with that today here on Connecting Faith. You can find out more on her website, beckypippert.com. Since writing that groundbreaking book, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, she's written a number of resources, including a new study series, DVD study series, her and her husband have done called Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And Becky, maybe we just jump in and talk about, you know, things of cultures change. You lived in Europe for a while. That's a difficult place to share faith. But there are some things that are still the same, right? So let's talk about what still is important to share.
Oh, I'm really glad you asked me that, because, yes, there are significant changes in culture. However, we mustn't be intimidated by that, because, first of all, our present culture is really quite similar to first century, when the gospel was being preached and gossiped. There's even an argument that Daniel's culture, when he went to Babylon, was actually, they had many of the same kinds of issues that we have today. So in one sense, nothing's new. But let me tell you what hasn't changed. People are hungry. They may not look like it, but let me tell you, and I have learned this so much in Europe because we saw unbelievable spiritual fruit in Europe. And what Dick and I, my husband and I, began to realize is it's been secular in Europe for so long. And what we think we're seeing there is the back end of secularism, where all of a sudden there is an interest, there is an openness, because they see the emptiness of the secular culture. Now, American culture is different. We haven't been secular for so long. Nevertheless, the more secular we get, I think the hungrier people are. So, what is it that non-Christians are looking for? Well, they're looking for real relationships. And if you're going to have a hearing, you need to develop some authentic relationships. And what do I mean by authentic? It means you're not just, I said in a book, I guess, I said, one of the things you see in the Bible is God asks questions and he tells stories. What do? We tend to preach sermons and give answers. We need to follow the biblical model. We need to ask questions. Now, that's part of what we do in our training. It's part of what's in this DVD curriculum of evangelism training for 7 weeks. How do we learn how to do that? How do we find out where are the points of resistance to faith in this non-believer I'm speaking to? How can I find common ground? Non-Christians need people who aren't going to be easily offended and that can demonstrate grace when they have so many questions. So what we need to do is we need to first, after we pray, we need to establish relationships, asking questions and finding out, you know, eventually, as you find out where they are, we need to say, well, if there was a God and you could ask him one question, what would it be? What is it about Christianity that doesn't make sense? What would need to happen for you to be convinced that it could be true? I mean, it's, again, this is taken from a whole talk of learning how to ask questions. But let me tell you, you pray, you establish relationships where you care about them as whole people. But I want to tell you something, Neil, that has revolutionized my approach to evangelism. And that is, I get asked all the time, okay, we're beginning to have conversations about faith. I've even shared the gospel. Nothing's happening. What do we do next? And I say, what we need to do is say, you know what? Your questions are really good, but I have the impression that you've never actually read the Bible as an adult. Have you ever read one of the actual biographies of Jesus' life? How can you make an intelligent decision if you never actually read what he wrote? Now, at that point, they may say, yeah, but I don't think the Bible's historically reliable. Now, it's very helpful to have some of those facts at your fingertips if this is a big issue for them. Often, I find it isn't a big issue. But anyway, if they look, what would you think if we got together? You don't have to believe in the Bible. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in God. All I'm saying, for the sake of intellectual integrity, at least find out what Jesus is like. Let's do it once. Neil, why is this so powerful? Because Jesus is irresistible. Non-Christian after non-Christian I meet, very critical of the church, but they are curious about Jesus. Then you expose them to Jesus and the Gospels. I've written a lot of seeker Bible studies for non-Christians. And these resources you're talking about, for example, Uncovering the Life of Jesus, which is just a very simple 7 weeks of Bible studies on the person of Jesus. I cannot tell you how many people I have seen become Christians because they're encountering Jesus for the first time. And the power of the Word of God, which they don't believe in, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power and beauty of Jesus. I can't begin to tell you how powerful a resource we have in presenting the Lord Jesus. It's not about techniques. It's not about formulas. It's out of prayer and relationship, bringing people into the presence of Jesus, and he does the work for us. When we were in England, I remember one time I was training about 1,400 Christian student leaders all across the UK, and I was teaching them relational, incarnational evangelism, and seeker Bible studies. One Christian inviting several non-Christian friends to take a look at Jesus. You can do it one-to-one, or you and a Christian could do it with four or five non-Christians. And I thought, well, this is a real new idea to them. They're probably not going to buy into it right away. That was in September. Then I started hearing from all the staff workers, and this is in the student ministry, saying they all went back all across the UK. They did exactly that, developed friendships, asked their friends, hey, it seems to me you've never really looked at any of the biographies of Jesus. Neil, in that first year, 1,000 seeker Bible studies were begun. That year, the student ministry said they saw more conversions than they had in two decades. That went to Europe. All the European students heard about it. They asked for us to do the same training, incarnational evangelism, seeker Bible study. Just that this particular seeker study, uncovering the life of Jesus, was translated into 18 languages. And then the churches started saying, there's been near revival in England amongst the students. We need it for the church. And we began doing, that's why we ended up staying 7 years. We were only going to stay 1 year. So, yes, it's tough times. Yes, the culture's difficult. But I'm telling you, there is an openness. And if we would just do evangelism in the way that Jesus did, because he's given us a model. He's given us a message, the most powerful message being his person. And he's given us the means of the Holy Spirit. It is so much easier than I think we realize.
Mm-hmm. Becky, you're just looking through the studies, you know, uncovering the life of Jesus or discovering the real Jesus or even in Empowered, that they're filled with great questions. Is that something that where we could maybe, build up our capability a bit if we just learn to kind of ask good questions? And how could we do that?
Well, I think, yes, asking good questions is exactly what Jesus did. And I think it's really, part of it is it does help to get some training. And again, one of the talks I give in Empowered, which is the 7 weeks, each week looking at different aspects of evangelism. You can do it in England. They call it home groups. We call it small groups, I think, over here. And one of the sessions is, how do you even raise the topic of faith naturally? How do you do it? How do you bring it up? And how do we ask questions? I think one key, Neil, is that we have to understand what really is important to my non-Christian friend. What's their passion? What is something they are really excited about? And then we need to ask them a lot of questions about it. You know, why? Why is it that you love this so much? Tell me more about it. But then at one point, one of the exercises we do in this is, how do you go from taking their particular passion and interest, and how do you slowly develop that into a God question? It's not just the first question you ask, but it's about four areas in where you can begin asking questions that are based in what they're passionate about, but that can lead to a God question. So my answer to how do we ask good questions, one is you need to really be curious about people. If all you're trying to do is just slip in the gospel and you don't really care about them, they can smell that a mile away. Nobody wants to be your evangelistic project. You have to genuinely care for people, and the Lord will give you his love for them. You need to ask questions and find out, what are they interested in? What are their passions? And also, what are their points of resistance to faith? When you know that, it becomes so much easier to be able to share the gospel. And then the other piece to that is, I do think training is helpful. But I think with just a genuine interest in people, you go a long way.
You do a little role-playing, right, oftentimes, right? And there's probably some value. If we had a prayer partner, we could actually do a little bit of that, right?
Exactly. In fact, one of the funniest bits in Empowered, our evangelism training thing, is that we did this hilarious role play, and I don't say it right up front. I just say on film, because I'm at a conference, and I say, now, we are going to do a role play, and I want you just to pay attention to everything you can learn. But what it actually is how to never lead a seeker Bible study. And so I'm the leader, and I'm very, I use a lot of God talk, and I'm very self-righteous, and I'm shocked when they say something that they shouldn't, you know. And I've done this around the world for years, and it's so effective. Rather than first showing them the right way to do it, show them the wrong way to do it, you know. But I want to go back to my – I don't know how much time we have before.
We have a couple more minutes here. Yeah, let's take a couple more minutes. Yeah.
I when we look at Jesus, he is our model. And what he shows us is that we've got to be radically identified with people in love and at the same time be radically different. You don't become to walk alongside doesn't mean we become identical, but to get to the point that people are more hungry than we think. I was had just come back to the U.S., at Christmas, and I was flying to Arizona to do some evangelism training for a mission at Arizona State, with the huge, biggest university in America. And there was a man sitting next to me on the flight who, it turns out, was from London. So we talked about each other's experiences of living. He lived in America as a Brit. I had lived as an American in England. And then as we established rapport, he said, "Why are you flying to Arizona?" I said, "Oh, I'm speaking at a Christian conference." And he said, "Oh, I'm an agnostic. I am not at all interested in spiritual things." Now, what do we do with a statement like that? Most Christians would go, oh, I'm so sorry, and they change the topic. I said, that's so interesting, because I was once an agnostic, and I'm curious if your reasons for not wanting to talk about spiritual things are the same as mine once were. In other words, you keep the conversation going to see if there is still some interest. And he said, "Well, all right, Becky, how do you even know that Jesus existed?" And I said, "That's an excellent question." Now, here, Neil, is where it.
Oh, well, we got to get Becky back on, because we want to know what that excellent question
was. I was really, really excited to hear the rest of that story, and then nope.
All right. That was called a cliffhanger, I guess, a tease. So we'll get Becky reconnected here to find out, and I think you can relate. You maybe been in a situation like that where you instead of saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about that," let's find a way to build a bridge, to create a conversation. We'll see if we get Becky locked in again. By the way, we do have some copies of her resources. We got some of the studies, Discovering the Real Jesus, got a few of those, as well as Uncovering the Life of Jesus, and then Empowered, Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And if you give us a call at 877-933-2484, we'll get you signed up for that. 877-93-FAITH, and we'll get hooked up, do a little drawing here at the end of the hour. So I hope that you can find more encouragement as you get these resources. You can also go to her website, BeckyPippert.com, BeckyPippert.com, and find out more about Equipping Everyone for Relational Evangelism. And as she said right at the beginning about, you know, just being confident in who Jesus is, it's simply a matter of, she says, the three R's. Remember in every situation that Jesus is with us. Rejoice that we have access to God's power through Christ. And request the Lord's help in every situation. The three R's, keep those in mind today. That might make a difference for you. Remember, in every situation, Jesus is with us. Remember that we have access to God's power through Christ and His Spirit, and request the Lord's help in every situation. Let's see if we can get reconnected with Becky Pippert today. Had a little phone drop there, and I think we're good. Let's get connected, and we'll finish up our conversation. Hey, Becky, sorry we dropped off for a minute there, but
what should we do?
Well, it was building in anticipation. So you're on the plane, you're talking with this gentleman from England, and he says, well, I'm not interested in spiritual things. Kind of pick up the story from there, because you asked some questions about what would it take to, and go on from there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Am I supposed to do it now?
That would be great, yes, since we're all hanging on every word.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were. Okay.
Yeah, we're back.
Here's
on.
What he said.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. All right, so I'm talking to this guy. He's a Brit. He says, I'm an agnostic. I'm not at all interested in spiritual things. I said, that's so interesting. I was once an agnostic, and I'm just wondering if your reasons for not wanting to talk about spiritual things are the same as mine. Well, how do you know Jesus existed? So I told him. Basic facts about that. He goes, okay, but your faith is based on the Bible. How do you know the New Testament is historically reliable? Again, I told him that doesn't take too long. And he said, I can't believe I am having a rational conversation about faith with a real Christian. He said, I didn't think it was possible. He said, all right, Becky, because I am now going to ask you one question. How would you summarize the Christian message? Now, I could hear the wheels coming down on the plane, and I knew I had about 2 minutes to share the gospel, which I did. He listened very carefully, and then he said, now, this is somebody who said, I have no interest in spiritual things. There's something I need to tell you. My wife has recently become a Christian. She now takes our kids to church. She prays at mealtimes. And my 6-year-old son says, Daddy, why don't you ever pray or go to church? He said, Becky, when I lay my head on the pillow at night, my son's questions haunt me. And he asked me for a book to help him with his questions. And I suggested that Ravi Zacharias, Oz Guinness. And I said, I've written a book for skeptics. He goes, will you send me yours? I said, sure, I will. We get off the plane, and he starts to leave. He turns around. He comes back, and he said, please, Becky, don't forget to send me your book. Now, this is the man who said, I have no interest in spiritual things. Then I heard from him. My book was Hope Has Its Reasons, and he said, I've just finished your book. I really liked it. It's challenging. Now I'm ready to talk about the Christian faith at a deeper level. And he goes, and by the way, my wife is so happy we met. but look at that example.
Yeah.
Somebody who looked and who thought he was far from any real interest in Christianity, but he's laying his head on the pillow at night, haunted by his son's questions. Let me tell you something I've learned. God is at work everywhere. He is seeking. He loves people, and he loves non-Christians, and he's seeking them. And you may think you're talking to somebody, and it's the first shot they've ever had, but it's very likely that there's been someone in that person's life, a parent, a grandparent, somebody you don't know, who's been praying for them for a long time. So you need to assume the positive, not the negative. And I also think we need help in terms of training.
What a great encouragement, a great story to encourage us today to seek opportunities, real, authentic relationships, pray, ask questions, and share. Empowered is what we've been referencing, equipping everyone for relational evangelism, the latest study tool from Becky Pippert. It's a DVD study series. You can find out more at BeckyPippert.com. And Becky, our time is gone, but we've been so blessed to just hear encouragement from you again today. Thanks so much for taking time today and Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much, Neil. It was a great pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Listening to Connecting Faith, and we'll take a quick break and come back. Here's a song that hopefully will encourage all of us.
Where there is hope. broken, you bring healing to the
Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and on this program we talk a lot about sharing our faith with others. But how are we able to do that? Mark Stewart shares that the key is the power of the Holy Spirit.
I pray every day. I get on my knees and I pray to the Lord, and then when I end up, I say, Holy Spirit, will you fill me today? Will you lead me to do the Father's will? And then will you empower me to do the Father's will, because I'm probably not going to want to do it.
Mark has found that the fullness of the Spirit enables him to care for those he meets and gives him the boldness to share with them.
I've led people to Christ over the phone, people on airplanes leading them to Christ, grocery stores, restaurants. I mean, I've had waitresses just break down crying over a conversation we're having. And I just know that's the Holy Spirit. Some days he leads me to nobody. That's okay. It's not my kingdom. I'm just showing up if he wants to use me or not.
So yield to the Holy Spirit's direction and trust him to lead you to people. For more on this subject, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Some good words today about sharing faith and about trusting God with the outcome. A good word today from Becky Pippert, and sorry about that little phone drop in the middle of it, but glad she could come back on and finish that story. What an encouragement. Our verse, we've been doing Memory Verse Monday, our verse today. We don't have time to get into Andy Stanley's comment on it, but Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And we'll return to that one here in a couple weeks, perhaps. I want to encourage you to be listening tomorrow on Connecting Faith as we meet the new president and CEO of Prison Fellowship. James Ackerman, recently appointed as new president. We'll hear his story and some of the amazing work going on at the Prison Fellowship. Lives are being changed in powerful ways. And there's, in many ways, revival happening in our prisons around the country. And we're going to get some good news about that. And we'll also talk a little bit about Angel Tree as well, one of our favorite ministries. That's all coming up on tomorrow's Connecting Faith. Hey, I just want to say welcome to new listeners, if that's you. Glad to have you on board. Maybe you're listening to the new FM signals in Waterloo at 93.1 or in Madison at 104.7, bringing you Faith Radio on your FM, or 90.7 in the Twin Cities, or maybe new listener in Hartford at Faith 1290. Glad to have you on board. Check in with us. Say hello by going to our website, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.